Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
It's an app.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb! Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb!
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Invisible airwaves crackle with life. Bright antenna, Bristol with the energy. This is Teddy Bruschi, and I am Getty Bruce. Emotional feedback on timeless wavelength. Bearing a gift beyond price. Almost free. A modern-day warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve, a quiet defense, riding out the day's events. The river. Getty Brewski.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, 617-779-0985. I'm locked out of my computer, but you just heard Teddy Bruschi doing the lyrics written by Neil Peart, who died on Friday. Explains why Rush... We're not touring anymore.
John actually brought something up to me off the air, and I just completely forgot about it. You know, we had Geddy Lee, the singer of Rush, on the show with us about maybe like 3-4 months ago, and I think it might have been you who asked about the future of the band and whether they're going to be going touring, and he was like, oh, no. You know, he seemed like no. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I remember this because I went back and I found it online. I forget how I found it, but
yeah, it
you specifically asked. You said you guys are done, right? And Geddy Lee said, "Oh yeah, we're done."
Well, Lifeson and Lee, I can give you no names. I can give you no. It is a secret. But Lifeson and Mr. Lee have reached out to someone I know to play drums.
Ah, very nice.
Not as the band Rush,
mm-hmm.
but as a they are going to work together again and make sweet, sweet music.
Well, the one thing that kind of, I mean, first of all, I knew that he was sick, and I think there'd been word that he had been sick for a while, but I don't think it was common knowledge that he had been battling brain cancer.
No, for 3 years.
Yep. So he's been fighting that for a while. Which
maybe it's where that he wore that dumb hat everywhere that he went.
Did he wear a hat? I've seen him in live and he's worn a hat before, but I didn't know it was part of the staple.
Hat. It's like a dumb hat. It's just like there's no brim or anything. Or it's not a fedora, which is the only hat that I think. Yeah. No, it's not a fez. It's just it covers the scalp.
Okay,
I mean he's been wearing that long before the brain cancer, but he just wore a dumb hat everywhere.
Well, the one thing that it got me thinking about is, you know, how quiet and how when you ask Geddy Lee about it, he would go, "Oh yeah, it's not going to happen." it got me worried about Eddie Van Halen's health, because anytime anyone asks, like David Lee Roth's been asked a ton of times about, hey, well, are you going to get the band back together? And he's always like, no, I mean, I think he goes, you know, Eddie's not doing too well, but no one is very specific.
I know exactly what's going on with Eddie Van Halen.
You do?
Yes. He has tongue cancer. He went to Germany. They've cut out part of his tongue, and he went to Germany to try to get it worked on, and it didn't work. So he is back in the United States. But they have cut a good portion of his tongue out.
So it's the tongue cancer that he's been dealing with all these years, these last like 3 years?
I can tell you this, is that he has had a good portion of his tongue removed. He went to Germany to have it worked on, and now he is back in the United States.
Tongue cancer, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone having tongue cancer. I've heard of like oral cancer, I guess, you know, from people who dip and things like that, but tongue cancer.
You know who had oral cancer? Michael Douglas.
How do you get tongue cancer? I mean, is it something?
Cunnilingus.
Is that?
That's what Michael Douglas said he got it from.
Okay, maybe that was the case. Maybe that is the one time I have heard of it. Because I remember how outrageous that story was when it came out. Well, I didn't realize it was tongue cancer.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, has there been a scientific line between the two of them? Or was that just him talking?
I think that was him just going, like, ladies,
okay,
I'm not afraid to, you know, do what you want me to do.
Right. I'm not quite sure, like, there's a Surgeon General's warning that your tongue might fall off because of that.
Well, I mean, in certain circles, there are warnings that go on. But, yes, that is what's going on with Eddie Van Halen. I have, someone that I'm friends with now that is very... very into the old school rock and roll scene. So I have
Ernie Bach. Okay, sorry, said I check.
Yeah,
okay.
There's some things going on with Grand Oak, Arkansas.
Big Oak, Arkansas, Grand Funk Railroad.
That's right. There's some things going on with Grand Funk Railroad that I cannot discuss openly.
Okay.
But I can tell you that all is not well. Little feet.
They are the worst. Little feet is the worst.
No. The truck driver song is great.
So good that you call it the truck driver song?
Tail lights flicker as he pulled into the truck stop girl.
Oh, okay.
Same old crowd was hanging around again.
I don't remember that one. Maybe I need to listen to it. Maybe I'm completely
mistaken. Of us worked at a country station, and some of us flittered around at a top 40 station.
That is the truth. Now, the only person I could see ever joining Rush to go on tour again would be if they got the dude from Tool. That's the only guy who could pull off the stuff
tour as Rush.
But they wouldn't call themselves Rush, but I could see like him going on tour with them and doing some.
They would play from the Rush catalog, you think?
I could see them doing a few songs from the Rush catalog, absolutely.
I disagree. I don't think that they would.
It's very rare that, even like Nirvana got back together recently. They didn't tour.
No, but that was a one-off. Like, I could see that they, and Grohl's kid played and a bunch of, like, there was... That was a one-off. That was like a celebration. Mm-hmm. No, Lifeson and Getty want to tour, but they don't want to tour as Rush. And maybe they wouldn't even be a three-piece. Na 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 na. Da 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 da. Skibby bibby.
I listened to later year Rush. Like on Friday, which nobody really listens to. And I love, Roll the Bones and Presto. Like, those are two great albums. They're both great albums. And just randomly, they came, because they made some kind of clunkers before that. But like early 90s Rush isn't the worst thing in the world.
Early
it's actually pretty good.
90s Rush was Lifeson with the Texas Ties.
Yeah, he did have the bolo tie during that era. And, that part of it was fairly embarrassing. And even, you know what, rest in peace, Neil Peart, some of the lyrics were wildly embarrassing during that time.
Well, everything he wrote that was lyrics were wildly embarrassing.
Pretty much. They weren't the best. They weren't the best lyrics. Although many people who like to read J.R.R. Tolkien, I think, enjoyed many of the many of the references.
Well, may I suggest, if you are a Rush fan, to go out, and we mentioned this with Gary Lee too, is to see the Trailer Park Boys episode where they kidnap Alex Lifeson. Is a fantastic episode because they think that he's an April Wine.
Oh, really? Another Canadian band that nobody in America cares about.
Yeah, the one guy that kidnaps him keeps wanting him to play the song that goes R-O-C-K, rock. And Lifeson is like, that's April Wine. And he refuses to believe it.
It's like them and the Tragically Hip are like bands that are massive in Canada. Like, it'd sell out
Our Lady Peace.
Places the size of, well, they can't sell out Gillette, but they're big. But I mean, like, the Tragically Hip could sell out a place the size of Gillette up there. And who in America knows a song by the Tragically Hip? I mean, they're huge up there.
Yeah.
Yep. Their lead singer died too, I think.
Mm.
So maybe they can't sell out the place the size of Gillette anymore. They could before he died.
Yeah, well. He's as good as gone. But, Neil Peart, he had a tragic life. A tragic life. And that's not a joke. He had his wife and daughter die within months of each other. And then he would follow the tour bus. He went and took some, like, ridiculous motorcycle ride where he went all over North America and then down into Mexico. I think he went for like a year by himself to clear his head.
He used to also, before every show, get dropped off, like on the tour bus, or somebody would drop him off. How many miles outside of town? It was like 50 miles outside of town, and he would bike in. It was a ridiculous amount of miles.
Well, see,
and he
I
would
thought
bike
that,
in on his bicycle.
I thought he didn't even ride on the tour bus. I thought that he just followed the tour bus with his motorcycle.
No. Like his bike, actual bike, not a motorcycle. Bike. Like that's how he did his cardio to warm up for, you know, what, 2 hours of punishing cardio during a show.
They used to have they got it. They had South Park do their opening on tours. When we saw him, who was something that happened before they played. There was a comedy of some sorts talking about the band.
Primus did the opening for South Park, though.
No, South Park was the opening of their show. They did Sawyer.
Oh, okay.
Before the show.
Oh, man, I've seen him so many times, I forget.
Oh, well, someone's a humble brag.
It's the truth. They're just one of those bands I just happen to see a ton of times.
Well, you're very fortunate because they will never tour again. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about? There's so much to talk about.
McDaniels, Brady, and Edelman, oh my, this weekend.
McDaniels, hey, what do you know? He will never get a head coaching job. We will be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, this seemed to be the year he truly wanted it. But 2 years after he left the Indianapolis Colts at the altar, Josh McDaniels will more than likely be back with the New England Patriots as he was passed over for the head coaching job with the Cleveland Browns.
More than likely he will be. There's no more coaching vacancies.
That's not quite true. There might be an opening possibly with Houston. There is speculation. However, John McClain, he's been covering the Texans for years, says that Bill O'Brien's job is safe. But, I mean, that would be the only chance if that indeed happened.
They are not firing Bill O'Brien.
According to this guy, they are not. But that gig ended up going to Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski. Now, despite flying out with his wife in tow on Friday, it looks like McDaniels wasn't even a finalist for the job.
Yep.
According to Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Browns' final decision came down to Kevin Stefanski, who ultimately got it. And the 49ers is a Robert Saleh. I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but it's a guy not named Josh McDaniels. Yeah. So it looks like he will, as I said, barring some sort of weird things that happens here in the offseason, will be back.
McDaniels might never get a job. And I've been saying this for years, the arrogance of that man and his lack of fortitude, his inability to... First of all, he overvalued himself, and then he was a pussy and wouldn't pull the trigger on taking a head coaching job. And now that opportunity seems to have gone, because it's not like the field's going to get any smaller. There's always going to be a new up-and-comer. There's always going to be someone that's younger. There's always going to be someone that is a college coach that seems like that they're a better candidate. I mean, he got passed over for the special teams coach for the Patriots, and Josh McDaniels has blown it. I've said it several times. I've said it for several years that he has absolutely screwed himself. And by the way, he don't get the Patriots job. So he can sit around here for 5 years and wait for Bill Belichick to retire, and they ain't giving him the job. So,
well,
I have fun.
I read a really interesting... Well, I don't know about that, because the Crafts love Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, well, the Crafts love Tom Brady. All right, go ahead.
Well, yeah, but what do you mean? Like, why is that? Why does one have anything to do with the other?
Because they could keep Tom Brady if they wanted to.
Yeah, but one's a coach, and one...
First of all, I don't know if the Crafts love...
They obviously did, because they wooed him back from going to the Colts and gave him a ton of money. He's making head coach money.
He pussied out of the Colts job.
But the Kraft still went to him and upped his contract and said, please come back.
They've done nothing but show that they love this guy.
Yeah. Do you think they did that because of McDaniels, or do you think they did that for other reasons?
Well, I mean, if you mean for McDaniels, I think they like him, but I think they also believe that it's better, and people like Tom Brady would have liked him to stay with the system.
They did it for Brady. So Josh, I don't think that there's any way that Josh McDaniels gets the job in New England.
Well, since he's going to be here until Belichick retires,
would you hire him?
I wouldn't, but I think there's a chance that he does get hired.
He's not a good offensive coordinator.
Well, the truth, we'll find out just how good he is. He was pretty good with Garoppolo and Brissett at quarterback.
Yeah, that was three games?
Four games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and now Garoppolo's...
3-1, right?
Now Garoppolo's in the NFC Championship game. So it wasn't like he was dealt a hand that he could not overcome.
Well, maybe he's in that championship because of Josh McDaniels.
No, grooming him. I think what we found out is that Garoppolo is not necessarily a very good quarterback. And they still looked really good offensively with him there.
Put it this way, as a Patriots fan, I don't think there's really anyone who should be excited about Josh McDaniels coming back, because that offense looked atrocious this year. And you got to put some of the burden on the offensive coordinator that these receivers, A, couldn't get on the same page, B, apparently it's because this offense is too complicated for young guys when they get in here. How many times have we heard that?
They brought in veteran receivers that couldn't get the offense, and that is inexcusable. You have to. How many times have you heard in other sports that you have to adapt to the personnel that you have? And he has an inability to do that, apparently.
He adapted to the quarterback, is what he did. I mean, Brady's been in the same system now for two decades.
Fine.
And instead of dumbing it down to make it easier for receivers to step in and play, you defer to the quarterback,
who runs it like he's always run. So why would if I literally can't bring in a receiver that's going to get the offense, wouldn't I change the offense?
You would think so.
But again, I think this is a life lesson to people, is to not to be cowardly and to actually take a chance.
I read a really good article, by the way, to your point, Fred, this weekend about Josh McDaniels. And it was that this Miami loss, when they lost to Miami, it not only screwed the team, as we have learned, and they missed out on that bye and then getting bounced in the wild card weekend, but it also royally screwed McDaniels. Because they were not available that week, McDaniels was originally supposed to be one of the first interviewers for the jobs such as the Giants and the Panthers. As a matter of fact, the Giants job is one that apparently he really wanted. But because they ended up losing that game, he had to do the exit interviews, whereas Joe Judge was able to actually start interviewing, and it held him back and made him be one of the people who would have interviewed after all the other guys.
So, same guy. I don't know how timing.
I don't. It's because everyone started getting snatched up, and there were panic moves.
But, well, how about when they went to the Super Bowl and he had to wait until he accepted the job?
I'm saying this specific year. In this specific year,
I don't think I forget who wrote this article.
I honestly don't think that Matt Rhule would not have been hired by Carolina if McDaniels had gone first.
I think the Giants one's interesting.
The Giants one might be interesting, but they obviously
didn't want him. I mean, they could have sat around. What are they afraid of? I mean, that Rhule's going to get snatched up by another team.
I just think it was a case where Joe Judge comes in, and they were so impressed when they sat down with him, and then they found out about the Mississippi State. Is that the job that he was going to get?
Yes.
They found out about that job, and they were just like, well, we got to hire this guy. And they made a decision, and, you know, I think it was one of those deals where they hadn't made up their mind, but the fact that Joe Judge was able to get in there first and was impressive, they said, let's hire him.
I don't think
they had their heart set on Josh McDaniels.
No.
But I do put a little bit of stock into the guy who interviews first.
Judge still would have gotten the interview, is my point.
Yeah, and I don't know about that, maybe.
Of course he would have gotten the interview.
I think Judge still would have gotten the interview.
The Giants aren't just hiring a guy on a whim. I mean, they wanted him.
So McDaniels, your theory is McDaniels would have gone
it's
first.
What I read,
blown them away when he got in there, and they would have hired him on the spot before anybody else.
No, they're saying that he lost out on that chance to do that because the Giants apparently did like Josh McDaniels.
Sure,
it wasn't the favorite. It wasn't the ultimate guy they were going to go with. They hadn't made that decision, but they did like Josh McDaniels almost on the same level as Joe Judge. But Judge gets in there first, makes a great first impression. You got the Mississippi State thing, and the Panthers had just hired a guy, and they're like, we got to get this dude pretty quick.
Well, if they want, then that means they want a Judge.
The Cleveland thing is the capper, though. He's from there. He's got family there.
He was the last interview.
You can sell that to the public.
He was the last
interview.
They waited around for him to interview. I mean, and then they just said, screw you.
Then the Browns decided to go with the baseball guy on the West Coast who wanted Stefanski. I mean, that's what it came down to. Dee Podesta loved Stefanski last year, and they didn't go with him.
If you're a Browns fan, first of all, neither of these guys. If they brought McDaniels in, I wouldn't have been excited as a Browns fan either.
But you can sell that to the public, unlike a lot of other head coaches they've had over the years, and they've had plenty of them. This is our guy. He grew up here. He's got family here. He's coming home.
He's here to lead our team. No one wants him. He's cowardly.
And in the ultimate Browns way, they announced the signing the morning after the Vikings get bounced from the playoffs. Oh, yeah, you know that offensive coordinator gave us that mediocre performance? They were hiring that guy.
I'll tell you this, is that his cowardness has cost him, and I knew it would, is that, and now he gets older, the offense is going to get worse. I don't think anyone thinks the offense is going to be better next year. The offense is going to get worse. Younger guys are going to be coming up. And the NFL is going to change. If you look at the teams that are left outside of Kansas City, I mean, these are run-first teams. These are teams that, I guess, Green Bay. But there's teams that are run-first. They're solid up front. And he's going to continue to get passed. He had his chance. He had numerous chances. But he acted like a hotshot. And he acted like, and everyone... he got paid all this by the Patriots to stay. No, he wants to be a head coach, and that's what everyone wants. And he didn't want to sit around and be the offensive coordinator for the Patriots, and he pushed out on that Indianapolis job, and now here he is. He's not going to get a head coaching job.
Except the only chance would be the Patriots. That's it. That's the only, because I agree with you. I think that that's his chances is flown out the window. You see what the league thinks of him now. But all that matters is the opinion of one guy, and that's Robert Kraft. And right now, he's done everything to show that he loves this guy.
Robert Kraft, well, Belichick's 67, and Robert Kraft is how old?
I don't know. 70s now.
Well, no, he's in well into his 70s, I would imagine. And so if Belichick wants to coach, he's 78.
Yes,
so 78. If Belichick wants to coach for, you know, 5-6 more years, that might not be Robert Kraft's decision.
Well, Jonathan Kraft loves him. So, I mean, then it would be Jonathan's decision.
I don't know if Jonathan Kraft loves him, and neither do you.
The Krafts love him. Sure they do.
You don't know if Jonathan Kraft
They just
loves
gave him,
him
head coaching money you to steal him back from the Colts.
You don't know
They've shown him that by the money that they pay him.
You don't know
the
if that was Jonathan.
Robert Kraft passes away. Are you convinced that Jonathan would hire him as a head coach?
I'm not convinced, but I think there's a strong chance. They've shown that.
See, you have no idea what Jonathan's role in that is.
Jonathan helps run the operation.
You have no, you literally have no idea.
Okay.
If Jonathan Kraft had anything to do with that decision.
All right. Well, I mean, all I know is that these two guys, he is part of the organization.
Right.
Jonathan Kraft helps make the decisions. He's one of the guys who helps make the decisions.
I don't know if he helps make the
decisions. He absolutely does. That's part of his role.
How do you know?
Because he runs football operations. That's what his title is. Take a look at his title.
You think that he has a say over his father?
I'm saying that he has had part of the say.
I don't think
but he has had part of the say.
I don't think that you know that.
That is his title. That's what he does.
Yeah, and my title is Master of Ceremonies.
What is your title, Fred, exactly? Oh, look at the shirt. The shirt, for those of you watching on Twitch, it says hashtag influencer.
Mm-hmm.
That's your title?
That's my title.
All right.
I influence the people.
I didn't see the shirt before.
And do you know what I got a big load of waiting for me after the show?
What's that?
Trulies. Zolak's dissing of the Trulies has gotten me a little bit of an in with the comp.
You're influencing the hell out of people. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. But McDaniels is a pussy, and then he gets what he deserves.
I don't know if I want to move my family.
All right. Well, there's 32 jobs, and you missed out on all of them. You had numerous chances to be head coach, and you pussed out on all of them. And now you got a 67-year-old coach where I think we all agree, I don't see Belichick retiring.
5 years.
Okay.
This is Belichick's opportunity to prove to everybody that it was him and not Brady.
So 5 years, and I think it might even be more.
Yeah, but, no, he's not going anywhere.
So you have a graying McDaniels who's
43. He's got a long way to go of sitting there as an assistant for 20 years.
I mean, how old are head coaches now? They're like 32 Yeah.
And you were talking about, you know, it could be the next college coach. Matt Rhule, after 3 years at Baylor, has been a head coach for 7 years. I think it was 4 years at Temple, 3 at Baylor. He's a head coach. Cliff Kingsbury wasn't even a good college head coach.
Yeah.
And he's a head coach.
Yep.
And it depends on whether or not you're the flavor of the month. If you're Freddie Kitchens became a head coach because he was an offensive coordinator that a quarterback liked.
Yep.
You know, well, I mean, never Adam know Gase. What's in the future.
Adam Gase is a head coach because Manning liked him. So,
yeah.
Good luck, Josh McDaniels.
Who failed at his previous job, and the Jets were there to scoop him up.
Well,
he liked that guy.
Well, no one failed as much as Josh McDaniels.
No, but I understand, yes. I get it.
So, congratulations, Josh McDaniels. Your inability to... Your arrogance, your hubris.
Yeah, leaving the Colts the altar, just it ruined it for a lot of people.
He's been arrogant for years. He's been waiting for the perfect situation.
Only had one interview last year. Couldn't get in the door for two interviews this year.
Well, that's the embarrassing thing.
That's the thing. He went from interviewing to not being able to interview. And then one interview he did have, he was one of eight guys. He's from the area he was interviewing for and still was at best third out of eight.
And by the way, quick before we break, remember everyone was saying, like, he might not take it. Like, it's up to him. He's going to go to Cleveland and he's going to see if he likes Haslam. Guess what, jackass? He didn't have a chance. I think that's a life lesson to everyone, is to strike while the iron's hot. Take a job, and if you believe in yourself, you should be able to turn a team around. Because if I have a guy who doesn't believe he can turn a team around, who wants the perfect situation, why the hell would I want him? I don't want that guy. I want a guy who believes he can turn a team around.
Usually you're not looking for a head coach if you're solid.
Yeah. Like
your team is pretty much in disarray if you're looking for a new head coach.
Yeah,
you for the most part.
You want the perfect situation? Guess what, Jack has no.
He's waiting for the Jets job to open up. That way
he perfect. He can manage.
yeah, that's right. And then he can get Belichick over a barrel, and then they can expose all the ways they cheat. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
All right, Brady spoke up a little bit about his contract, and we'll get to the Edelman situation as well.
Yeah, Edelman, I was very disappointed when I found out what it was. There was breaking news on the radio station. They said Edelman got in trouble. And I was like, ooh.
It made me laugh, actually. And I'll tell you why it made me laugh.
But I was like, ooh. And then I was like, eh, who cares? All right, so we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and...
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not $10,000 or $12,000. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.sportsforty.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So the decision of the Browns to skip out on Josh McDaniels has altered the Vegas odds as to where Tom Brady will sign this season. After the Browns were a favorite to land Brady, only behind a return to the Patriots last week, now the L.A. Chargers are the franchise favorites. 2-1 odds in Las Vegas. The Dallas Cowboys and the Las Vegas Raiders follow at 7-1 odds. The Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the only other teams with odds less than +1,000 if you were to put some money down. Now, Tom Brady still letting the good times roll with his friend Jim Gray. Brady was asked about all the speculation as to where he'll go this season. He said this.
Tom, there's a tremendous amount of speculation as to where you're going to play next season. How are you dealing with all of this speculation and seemingly everybody knowing where you're going more so than you know?
Well, I can only say how I feel, and that's, you know, what's the truth to me and what's authentic to me. And you're right. I have no decisions that I've made, and there won't be for any considerable time. So I know there's speculation. There always is. That's just part of being in professional sports and being a professional athlete. And, you know, when people aren't talking about this season, they want to talk about next season. And the reality is next season's quite a ways away. So I have some other things that are happening at this time. Like I said, spending some time with my family and my loved ones. As people begin to plan for next season, like I said, these things will take care of themselves.
Well, Jim, I wish I was one of his loved ones.
That'd be nice.
That we could spend some time together.
Mm-hmm. You guys can go and go to Montana or wherever it is, and you can just make protein shakes together, toss the ball around.
I don't even want that as much as I just want my hands rubbed.
You
want
to be one of the Derby guys? The Derby gang?
I want to be one of the super cool Derby guys.
What are they called? The Wolfpack?
Is that what they call themselves?
You guys can roll around there, the wolf pack.
I want to get all dolled up.
The Poon Patrol?
That's a name.
Wasn't that the name that Leonardo DiCaprio's friends were all called? Like, it was like him, this is years ago, it was him and Tobey Maguire.
And like the guy who does like the e-cigarette ads now?
Yeah, it was called like the Poon Patrol or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting the two groups mixed up. But
listen, regardless, it is an exciting time. I mean, I mean, time with your loved ones. I want Guerrero to massage my hands, basically, is all I want.
It will be the most painful thing you've ever felt. Well, Jim Gray asked Tom Brady on when he plans to make a decision.
The owner of the organization, Bob Kraft, said earlier this week that it was his hope and prayer that you stayed with the Patriots or that you retire. Tom, you're the only one that can make that determination. You're the guy who can answer his hopes and his prayers. When will you make that determination?
Well, I think, like I said, I love playing football, and I've loved playing for this organization. So I really don't know what it looks like moving forward, and I'm just taking it day to day. So we're a week removed from the end of our season. There's a lot of time to figure these things out. I don't think any player or team is ready to make any commitments at this point. And I'm sure as the off season progresses, you know, those things will take care of themselves.
Wait, so you're saying the Sliz squad is...
The Sliz squad?
That's right, baby. You're saying that they're good to go?
The booty bunch?
That's right. Anywhere you put it, they're out there. They're jamming down ecstasy and just giving money away.
I am trying to remember. I think they were the Wolf, because I know the Wolf Pack is what he called the, you know, Garoppolo and Brissett and him together. That was the Wolf Pack. Was that the name of the crew? They had some super cool name. I'm trying to remember. And like Castle's in there, and I'm trying to think of who else.
Hard to be super cool wearing those outfits, man.
Well, listen, you go to the Derby, you got to dress up.
God.
Like you're a woman.
Well, then or somebody's selling you a monorail.
Well, they just like, yeah, like, let's go to the Derby and dress up. That's really great.
Well, then it is Jim Gray voice. Jim Gray asked if he started negotiating with the Patriots yet.
You will be a free agent in mid-March. Up until that time, you can only speak to the Patriots. Are you right now negotiating with the Patriots?
The contract things, I think a week after the season, I would say these things haven't even started to pick up. So that's really not my concern at this point. It's been about decompressing and resting my mind a little bit and resting my body and spending time with the people who have supported me over the last 6 months.
The Poon Crew.
That's right. It's time to get together with my squad.
Well, for all the people who would like Tom Brady to stay, you may not like the post that his wife Giselle posted on Instagram Friday morning. She posted a somewhat cryptic message, rather, saying, quote, "We are going through intense times in our personal lives and in the world." Intense times in our personal lives is what she wrote. And that followed in the comment of, quote, "I feel that everything happening right now is trying to bring us more inward. It's asking us to reflect, to let go of judgments and whatever is holding us back." And there's a lot of people.
She is so deep.
A lot of people freaking out over the holding us back stuff. Oh, to me, that's just some weird yoga pants stuff.
I agree. I completely agree.
Your inner chi or tai or something else that makes you fart in yoga class.
I forget what it was where they were in the car and they called Gronk. Well, what documentary was that? Whatever
Tom
it was. Tom versus Time.
It was pretty
and
good.
And she said to Brady as they were driving, you know, "What are we going to do today?" I said, "I think we should meditate for 6 hours. This is what she told Brady. "I think we need to meditate for 6 hours and be one with ourselves." And Brady looked at her and went, I'm going to go watch TV.
I don't read anything into that gobbledygook.
If Giselle can meditate for 6 hours, I will jump off a building. If she can literally sit there for 6 hours like a monk and meditate, that is the biggest load of crap I've ever heard in my entire life.
Just letting go of outside strings, Fred.
She probably
moving yourself inward.
She's probably done it before. You know where these, like, there's these people who have a ridiculous amount of money who go into the desert and just sit and do nothing.
Well, I will tell you this. She has perhaps been to, like, a Buddhist monastery where they had a vow of silence and they would meditate during the day. But the idea that she goes home and for 6 hours sits in complete silence and tries to let go of her thoughts is ludicrous.
Good for Brady saying, nope.
Yeah,
I don't
you
think
watch
so.
TV.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can be a football player and meditate for 6 hours.
Maybe he said something like, I don't know about that.
Have you ever
honey.
Tried to, have either of you ever meditated?
I mean, I've taken yoga classes where at the very end they have you try
but
to find your thoughts.
Right. I have.
No, but
okay,
you have.
So you've meditated.
I've attempted
to.
Okay, how long did you get?
Five minutes.
Yeah, okay. I've done it for like a half an hour.
Oh, really?
I'd love to try that.
I can't turn myself off like that.
See, well, it's impossible. I can't either. That's why I want to try to do it.
Well, it's the goal is enlightenment. The goal is to rid yourself of thoughts, and it's almost impossible to do.
Half an hour? Really?
Yes. I used to set... I read a bunch of books on it, and I used to set a timer for half an hour, but yeah. I focused on breath, and I never was able to obviously let go of my thoughts.
See, I tried to focus on breath, and I thought I had been sitting there a very long time, and finally I just popped open my eyes, looked at my phone, and it had been 5 minutes. I'm like, wow, that was a long time.
Well, you know me, I'd fall asleep.
That's a good point. You can turn yourself off like
immediately.
That.
Yeah. I would within maybe 2 minutes, I'd be asleep.
Yeah, I have to do it in a chair because my back starts hurting if I go to the lotus position.
Sure.
I get my back hurts.
All right. Well, when we get back, let's talk about this Edelman stuff because it is kind of funny.
All right. I got it. All right. We will be right back with that Edelman stuff.
98.5 The Sports.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Sports Touch.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Touch from Rich, part of the Poon Posse. Julian Edelman ran afoul of the law.
Yep. He will. Someone we do know will absolutely be crushed if Brady leaves. That would be Julian Edelman. But before he can stand outside of Brady's window with the boombox like John Cusack and say anything, first he's going to have to get a buttload of surgeries. Now, Edelman reportedly played through some pretty painful junk and will have his left shoulder surgically repaired. That's a result of a separated AC joint he played through. He'll also have to undergo a procedure on his left knee, which requires a scope to identify and remove a loose body. Wasn't Loose Bodies the sequel to Screwballs? I think that was Screwballs 2, Loose Bodies.
Yeah, well, I mean, the gang was still trying desperately to lose their virginity.
Well, he also played through a rib injury this season. It was revealed as well, but none of that kept him from being the bad boy of the NFL this weekend. Julian was arrested on Saturday night in Beverly Hills, California, and cited for misdemeanor vandalism, according to police.
By the way, there's no more fun place than Beverly Hills, California. There's so much going on.
Well, according to the report, Edelman jumped on the hood of a vehicle around 9 p.m. Apparently, it caused damage to said car, so Edelman was arrested. After the arrest, he was later released by police. In a statement, the police said that Edelman is scheduled to appear at the courthouse there in Beverly Hills on April 13th. So all I kept imagining when I heard about this was how Edelman probably thought how everyone would react to his shenanigans there would be the same way they would in New England, and be like, hey, it's Edelman, the party guy. Oh, he's so crazy. Can you believe he just jumped in my car? What are you doing? Far out. That guy's outrageous. But this guy was probably like, hey, jackass, get the F off my hood, you stupid idiot. It's like that scene in Kingpin when Woody Harrelson struts into the bowling alley years after he makes his big comeback and grabs a slice of pizza from that guy, and the dude just pushes him and yells, what the hell are you doing, jackass? I have a feeling Edelman was like, oh, yeah, it's Edelman guy in his head. And the dude was just like, get the hell off my car. I don't care who the hell you are.
He's like, but let's party hardy.
Yeah, but I'm the party king. Well, Gronk has actually already proclaimed himself that. So, I mean.
No, well, he's a party animal.
He's a party animal. And by the way, I mean, to get arrested for that. I mean, unless he completely smashed up the hood of this guy's car.
You get arrested for that. If you jump on a guy's hood, that you don't know you're going to get arrested for that. I mean, he was wasted.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's a misdemeanor, and I don't think he probably has to show up personally in court.
No, that's because he's going to pay something.
I was in the car. My son had a basketball game somewhere, and where we had to drive on the freeway. And I heard breaking news, and I was like, ooh, what did Edelman do? And then they were like, he jumped on a car, and I was like, yeah. I thought he killed someone or something. Cool.
No, I don't think he did that. Well, it looks like Edelman didn't take it too harshly because later that evening, Paul Pierce posted on video, a video on his Instagram of him palling around with Edelman and Danny Amendola as well.
Hey, he's up, bro. Listen, dog, you don't want none of this action.
Oh my God.
You don't want none of this.
Paul.
You don't want none of this.
I got him. I got him.
He got me, Boston.
He didn't even seem that wasted in the video. It was just like, I think he was in party guy mode.
So that was off. That was after the arrest?
Yeah, reportedly. Okay. It was posted afterwards. Whether it was recorded hours earlier, who knows? But it was posted, according to reports, after the arrest.
I mean, there's no bigger sign of like having a really good night with your bros as being someone in your 40s putting out Instagram videos of you guys partying. I mean, that really is cool. Paul Pierce, what are you doing? Just taking vids and being my boys, clowning around, having some bevies. I mean, Edelman's such a douche. It's like unbelievable. And he's bringing Pierce down with him. But, yeah, I heard that they played a breaking news sounder. I'm like, oh, maybe he did something cool, like murder someone. And then it was just he jumped on a car.
Yeah, which I'm surprised there isn't any video out there yet. Maybe it's because nobody knew who he was and nobody was rolling their phones.
That would be the ultimate insult didn't get posted because no one recognized him.
No. I'm telling you, that's what happened.
Know? Yeah, how would anyone know that was Julian Edelman?
Like in Los Angeles, like in New England, you're a god. But in Los Angeles, you're just another dude.
But that's just it. For Edelman, that's like a fate worse than death.
No, you are a little guy in a hoodie. Who the hell would know who you are?
Well, maybe he's wearing JE11 stuff. Then you would
know. No, not in the video that he put up with. Maybe he was wearing JE11 stuff, but still, I don't know what people would recognize that. Boy, does he want to be famous. And he never will be. And it's a shame. Josh McDaniels will never get a head coaching job.
See, I was thinking that he was going to get, like, he got arrested. And I was like, dude, was he grabbing on the bumper of a car and speeding down the road on his JE11 skateboard? Yeah. living by his own rules.
Wheels.
Was he gleaming the cube? Was that his only crime?
He's just like a big urethane wheels.
The JE11, because Amendola was with him, his skating buddy.
I mean, they don't even care about the off season, about getting hurt. It's just about cruising. It's about soul skating. It's not about tricks.
That's the thing, is that these reports came out, you know, a couple hours before that about all the surgeries he's going to get. He's jumping on cars.
Yeah. He's, I mean, he is tough. I mean, he does take a lot of punishment.
He does. Okay. So right after John Wallach's headlines, speaking of taking punishment, there is a member of the 98.5 Sports Hub staff yesterday that put something on Twitter, and he might have had 5,000 responses people who just like killed him.
Okay. Oh. Well,
I mean, this dude just got bodied on. And you know what? To be quite honest, he almost deserves it. And I love this guy, but I don't know, understand where this person's hatred for the guy he was tweeting about comes from.
All right.
But he got crushed on Twitter last night.
All right. I'd like to hear about that. No commercials here, just the headlines.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not $10,000 or $12,000. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special event disclosures for full details.